You're listening to the newchurches.com Q&A podcast. New Churches is an online hub for the mission of church multiplication. What? Here you'll find the resources and training you need to get started, as well as a community of church planting and multi-site experts to help you thrive. Be sure to go to newchurches.com/multi-site to learn about our newest course, all about what it looks like and what it takes to move towards multi-site, starting your first location or starting another one as well. Yeah. So my name is Daniel, and I don't have to introduce Todd because he's already said what.
That's right. It's the good, you're a good co-host.
Well, co-host, talking about co-host on the Five Leadership Questions podcast.
Yes.
The other one that was a part of, that's a part of life, our Lifeway Leadership family.
Yeah, yep.
I'm actually on it a lot more now.
You are?
Yeah.
So people should check that out.
Yeah, they should.
We should continue to tell people to check this one out.
Yeah. Get some cross-pollination going on. Mm. But today we have a very detailed question.
I like this.
From Adam Thacker. And it's like, he knows how many steps it takes to go from parking to the door. So you're going to like this, okay?
I am going to love this.
Let's listen in.
Guys, thank you. The wisdom and wealth of resources y'all share freely is astounding and very much appreciated. My wife and I are planting a brand new church in Roanoke, Virginia, September 10th this year. We've got a long way to go, a short time to get there, but I believe we will. I could ask 100 questions, and I know you've recently talked about finding the right facility, but if I could narrow in on 3 pain points that we're experiencing, I think it'd be very helpful to me and many others along the way. The first one is this. There's no immediate parking, but a parking garage is 206 steps away and is free on Sundays. What do you think? Additionally, adults are on the main floor, but kids and nursery would be on the third floor with a mezzanine in between and check-in downstairs. What do you think about that? Finally, we only have the building after 3 p.m., so evening and night services is the only option. While we plan to launch at evening, we hate to be locked in to evening. We love this building, have a passion for it, have a big vision for it. Can you speak to these pain points and provide insight from your plethora of experience? Thank you.
Don't you love that?
That was a great question.
He
a
was well prepared.
Formulated question.
Very well formulated.
He threw a y'all in there too.
He did. So let's hit this one question at a time. All right. So there's no immediate parking, but there's a lot 206 steps away and is free on Sunday. What do you think?
Is it 206 Todd steps or is it 206?
Let's say average, someone who's 5'8", 5'9".
All right.
That's about average height for the for people.
I feel like I need to take a break and go
and actually do 206
steps to know how far that is. I mean, it's what? It's probably like 600 feet.
Yeah.
So I would say on that one.
And I guess the other thing is visibility.
Right.
Right. Because I've parked 206 steps away from other things. And if I can obviously, you know, at a sporting event or somewhere where there's a ton of people at a right. county fair or whatnot, but you see your destination. Now, parking in an open area or maybe in a suburban context, or even if it's a parking garage in an urban context, that's different than if you're parking in the city 5 blocks away and you don't see where you're actually going. In that right. case, that could definitely be a hindrance and you need signage. Really good signage.
You need lots of signage and people. And so there's a couple of things you want to think about. First of all, what is the context? Context is king in this case, yeah. because if you're in DC, that's nothing. I mean, if you're true. In a major metropolitan area where people are used to walking quite a bit yeah. to get to places, that's one thing. If yeah. you're in like Texas, or I don't know, someplace that everybody drives and everybody's used to being able to drive up to your church with a great big parking lot and walk in. That's another. I mean, you know.
Or it's a matter of weather as well. Right. Totally. When I was pastoring in Edmonton, it'd be 6 months out of the year winter. Right. So even though we were wrestling with parking issues and we were trying to figure out should we rent a lot elsewhere, the only way that we would actually be able to rent it was if we had shuttles.
Right.
You know, you drive up to Saddleback, right? And there's no way you can ever at their main campus, there's no way you can ever park right there.
No.
Everyone is taking a shuttle in.
Exactly.
Right. But there's signage. You know you're on the campus. So context definitely is king here.
So signage and shuttles can help solve that at least part of it. So one of the campuses that we had required you to either metro or park probably about 200 steps away. Mm-hmm. And so we made sure that we had line of sight at least to a person that was holding a sign or was next to a sandwich board or whatever that that would direct people in the right way. Part of the reason why we had to do that is some of our neighbors thought it was a great idea to like steal our signage and steal our boards because they didn't like us there.
Yeah.
But that's a whole other story.
It is. So line of sight, context is king here. Let's get to the next question. Adults are on the main floor, kids and nursery are on the third floor, and there's a mezzanine in between. Check-in is downstairs. So I'm guessing there's, if check-in is downstairs, you might be coming in main floor. That's where your adults are. That's where mm-hmm. the worship services. You check your kids in and then you need to go up to the third floor to drop your kids off. And there's a mezzanine in between.
Right. So I would say, again, think about
signage.
But the big part of it is, I mean, you want this to be as frictionless as possible.
Yeah.
So my question is, are you saying you have to use check-in on the first floor, or is it using your existing check-in solution? Is that what is making you think you have to use it? So I would say, man, if you've got a great facility that is going to work for you, think about a lot of the best ideas come when we're stretched, when everything is perfect. We've got all the money we need. We've got the facility we need. All of those things basically make you lazy. Mm. It's in times and situations like this where I would say, hey, don't lock yourself in to the way that you've done it or seen it done. Think about the way that you can serve your people best and make it as frictionless as possible.
All right, so what do you think about this idea, Todd?
Okay.
Because there's a lot of dead space to go from the first floor through the mezzanine up to the third floor. There's a lot of time that elapses. Now, obviously, we don't know if this is you have 1,000 kids being checked in or 100 kids, but either case, there's time that can be leveraged. So what do you think about these two solutions? Number one, if you're a regular attender, you use either your mobile app to check your kids in. And by the time you get to the third floor, the tags are already printed out for you, right? So as you're going up, you're able to check in on the way. If you're brand new, you can actually have mobile check-in. I mean, there's a ton of companies out there that do this, but you can have printers that you can kind of put on as like a little name tag printer, like a sling.
Yeah.
So what you do is you have several volunteers who are on the main floor, and as you have a brand new person, you're actually walking with them, checking them in as you're walking and showing them where to go. And by the time you reach the third floor, the tags are printed out and you're good to go.
I like that idea, especially if you've got that on, you know, a phone or an iPad or something that you can use to check people in, especially, you know, if you've got printout right there. I hadn't really thought about that. I've never seen that before in a church. Mm-hmm. I've seen it plenty of other places where, you know, somebody has a little thing that prints out on their side and I'm like, whoa, that was cool.
Yeah.
So I think the church application would be great. The other piece to that is too, if those people are new guests and they don't know where they're going, it frees up that person to then go ahead and take them to where they need to go.
Exactly. And there's not that dead space, that dead time, but it's really leveraged.
Basically, you know, chatting them up on the way.
Exactly. All right. So third question, they only have the building after 3 p.m. and it seems like they really love the either it's the location or who knows, but he really, Adam had a real affinity towards the building, but they only have it after 3 p.m. They want to launch September 10th, but they don't want to be locked into the afternoons and the evenings. Yes, that's the only time that they have.
I don't understand the question.
Right, because they, obviously when we think of church plants, when we think of church services, typically mm-hmm. we're thinking 10 a.m., right? Or we're thinking 9 a.m., 11 a.m., or any of these times in the morning, not necessarily in the evening, yet they only have the building after 3 p.m., right? So I guess his question is, should they still go with the building even though they can only meet in the evening? Is it okay? Maybe that's the question. Is it okay to meet in the evening when you're planning a new church?
Totally. It's okay to meet in the evening. I mean, we had campuses that did meet on Sunday morning. They met on, like, one met on Monday night. And so I think, and that was always full in an overflow.
Yeah.
I do think there's some considerations when you do an evening service. Childcare is a significant issue because people like having their kids on schedules. If you don't have children, please understand that if 7:30 is bedtime, it should be, it's bedtime every night. It's not, so that can completely throw things off. Another big element is food. So if a family is used to eating at 5 or 6 or whatever time it is they eat, they're going to either, they're going to need an option. So that doesn't mean it's a deal killer. It just means that you have to be prepared for conversations like that, because it may sound crazy, but if something is, you know, just 30 minutes in one direction or the other direction, as far as time frame of eating and things like that, it can be a, it can be a hassle. There's sometimes that I miss Wednesday night because we just can't get our family fed and to the church on time. And so it's like, well, you know, sometimes I meet them at the church and I have to swing through a drive-through. And sometimes we just say, you know what, we can't go tonight because we can't turn our family around fast enough.
Yeah. Oh, completely. And that's where I'm not sure about Adam's family situation, but Adam, the time that you start your service in the evening on Sunday or in the afternoon really does, it will affect the demographic that you are reaching. Right. So if you're saying, hey, we want to go 7:30, it's, I mean, plenty of time to get ready for work the next day. And you may be right. Right. That is true. But there's no way if a family with young children will come to a 7:30 p.m. service when school is start. Even maybe there are a lot of families, not with young children, but with teenagers that are like, hey, actually, by the time service starts at 7:30 and we get home at 9:30, it's just, what about homework? And what about all this? It's just really complicated there. So you really have to, I would say, as you gather your launch team, right, as you gather your launch team, talk through service times as well and talk about this, the whole idea of, hey, if you're going to start at 4 o'clock, what time are you going to start your next service? Is it going to be 6? Do you want to start at 5? And if you go to 2 services, do you go 4 and 6:30? Right. So there's a lot of these different variations that you should definitely be looking at. So ask your launch team, but also ask those in your community. Right. Just talk through it. I mean, that would even be a great way for you to get to know your neighbors or the people that are living around the building, being like, hey, everyone, my name's Adam. I'm brand new to the area. We're going to be starting a church service. And I was just wondering, not asking you to come. I mean, we'd love for you to come. But if you were to come, which of these times would you be most likely to come? And who knows what kind of gospel conversations, spiritual conversations might arise from that.
And that should be done. If you go back to, you know, previous episodes, if you're a regular listener, you'll know that I sometimes talk about exegeting the culture and exegeting the community that it's in. And so that's something to do. I mean, go to that location, the time when a service is going to be, and just walk around and see what it's like. I mean, how many people are out and about? Are people already, you know, closed up for the night? Are other businesses already closed? So there's all those things to consider. And last but not least, man, if it don't fit, don't force it. I mean, find another venue.
Exactly.
Or, you know, it may be the greatest venue ever, but if the service time's wrong and that part of the community is dead during that time and there's nowhere for people to eat and all that, then man, you may need to consider elsewhere, because there's a couple of things that'll kill you quicker than anything. Parking will kill you, and you've already said that's an issue. Bad service time can kill you. And you're saying, hey, this is a weird service time. And then last but certainly not least, is your children's situation. If parents don't feel safe, if parents feel like check-in is too much of a hassle, they're not coming back. It doesn't matter how great the preaching is or, the worship is. It's going to take its toll. Even if they buy in for a short period of time, it's just going to be a grind. So if it don't fit, Don't force it.
Awesome. Well, thank you again for listening in. If you have not yet left a rating and review, help us get to 200 reviews on iTunes. There are several of you who have already submitted that. If you haven't listened to episode 200, we did talk about this offer where if you send in a rating and review, take a screenshot of that, email it to me, daniel@newchurches.com. If you help us get to 200 reviews, will actually give you 200 New Churches reward points. So that's $20 that you can use on courses at newchurches.com. So thanks again for listening in, and we will catch you next time.